I am Lenny Tadelman, and I'm a geneticist and computational biologist by training. I did graduate school in Berkeley and then postdoctoral research out at MIT. And since 2012, I have been the co-founder and CEO of protocols.io, which is a GitHub Wikipedia-like central repository of research recipes. So for science methods detailing what exactly scientists have done.
Welcome, Lenny. Why don't you tell us a little bit more about what you do at Protocols and some of the goals and use cases?
So I had no entrepreneurial ambitions whatsoever, actually. I was on a straight academic path as a yeast geneticist, driven just by curiosity in the projects that I was participating in. And my experience out at MIT as a postdoc was that literally the first year and a half of my project went into fixing just one step of the research recipe of the protocol that I was using. So instead of a microliter of a chemical, it needed 5. Instead of an incubation for 15 minutes, it needed an hour. And the insane part is that at the end of the day, that's not a new technique. I can't publish an article on that because it's just a correction of something that's previously published. And there's no good infrastructure. There's no GitHub of science methods. There's no good infrastructure for updating and sharing such corrections and optimizations. So the end result of that year and a half was that I get no credit for this because I can't publish it. And everybody else who's using the same recipe is either getting completely misleading results or has to spend a year or two rediscovering what I know, what I would love to share, but can't. It led to this obsession with creating a central open access place that makes it easy for the scientists to detail precisely what the research steps were, what are the recipes. And then after they've published, giving them the space to keep these current by sharing the corrections and optimizations and making that knowledge discoverable.
There's a hole in the process and you're connecting what you can potentially do now with what you did previously and not lose all the work. That's brilliant.
I shouldn't take too much credit for it because a lot of people have had the same idea over the last 20 years, and there have been several attempts to create a central place. One of the hard things is that this isn't just about technology and building a website and creating a good UI, UX for people to share. One of the hard things is that it's a culture change, right? So if we are used to publishing a scientist very brief methods that have things like contact author for details, or we roughly follow the same procedure as reported in another paper, and then good luck figuring out what that roughly means, what are the slight modifications. But one of the hard things is the culture change in getting scientists to adopt platforms like this.
So it sounds like the scientists prior who wanted to create something like Protocols, they were ahead of their time.
I think, yes, I know of a number of efforts to create exactly what we've done. Some of the people from those have actually been huge supporters and advisors, partners, helping us avoid the mistakes and helping us succeed. So it's a long quest, a long journey towards this, but a lot of them, I give them credit for the same idea, and it's exactly what you said, being ahead of your time.
Because you're a scientist and have a lot of expertise collecting enormous amount of data. A lot of companies nowadays, because data is the new oil, they think that, oh, we should just collect everything. Well, we might be able to solve a new business problem, or we might be able to use it much later on. Then actually research has been done about that, that that's not a good idea, because mm-hmm. then you end up solving really silly problems. What is your approach?
There are sort of two different camps. One argues that you should be very targeted with the data that you collect. You should have a hypothesis. You should have a research question that's guiding you towards an experiment and towards the data that you're collecting. And another one is, let's be more descriptive. Let's just get data and then look inside and see what pops out, see what is surprising. There are two camps, and I know both types of scientists. I was more in one camp than another, but there is value to both. The tricky part in science is that you are not aware of the statistics and p-hacking and just what it means to go fishing in large data sets, particularly in genomics, particularly now with a lot of the new technology that we have for generating massive data sets across different conditions, across different organisms, right? And you can sort of drown in data. And then if you're not careful, you start looking for signal. If you're not thinking of the statistics, if you're not thinking of what's called multiple testing correction, you can get these false positives in science where something looks very unusual, but it really is just by chance. It's because you're running a lot of tests and slicing data in 100 different ways, and one out of 100 times, just by chance, you're getting something that looks like an outlier, that looks very puzzling or interesting, but it's actually chance. So I don't know about an industry particularly. It seems to me if you're a business and you are just trying to grab everything and feeling that something useful will come out of it, if you're not in the business of doing science, but you're in the business of actual business, it seems to me intuitively that you become very distracted and it probably is not the best use of your time or resources. But in science, both approaches are valuable. You just have to be really careful if you are analyzing data without a particular question and you're trying to see what is there that's interesting.
If you're collecting everything, do you have a team or a group of people that you're working with to suss out the wrong ideas?
I see more and more journals. I see more and more academics becoming aware that, oh, I need to learn something about statistics, or I need to collaborate with biostatisticians who can help me to be careful about this. There are journals that have started statistics reviews. So it might be a biology paper, but depending on the data and the statistics that are in it, it might go to an expert statistician to review to make sure that you've used the appropriate methods and you've thought through the pitfalls that I'm discussing. But there is a lot more to do on this side. And again, there is a spread. There are teams that are collaborating, and they have data scientists who are computational biologists and statisticians who are more used to thinking about data. Then you also have people like me who used to do both. And I wasn't a great computational biologist and I wasn't a great geneticist, but my strength was the ability to do both. So again, it's all over the map. And there's a lot of training, a lot of education that still needs to happen to improve how we handle the large data sets.
Do you think that data, it's about getting the numbers right, working with statisticians, or the more qualitative side of things, where even if the data is showing one thing, your, let's say, experience says otherwise?
Oh, I've been misled by data that I've generated or had access to nonstop as a scientist. I've given talks on things that I thought were exciting and turned out to be an artifact of how I was doing the analysis. And I've experienced that many times. I think at the end of the day, whether you try to be careful or not, we always have a scientist and we always will make mistakes. And that's why I particularly feel that it's so essential for us to share the data, because we think we're doing things correctly, but reviewers and other scientists who are reading your papers really can't tell unless they have access to the data that you've used and can run the analysis themselves or use different tools to analyze. And that's where problems come up. That's where mistakes are identified. So I think science can really improve more through the sharing and less through trying to be perfectionists from the people who are generating the data and publishing the stories. I think both are important, but I think there's more opportunity for ensuring reproducibility and that mistakes get fixed by sharing the data.
Yeah, and when you're solving really complicated and hard problems, it helps to have many people work on it too, even though it might seem like there are too many chefs in the kitchen, but that it can only help, I imagine.
Absolutely. And that's what peer review is for. It's getting eyeballs of people who have not been listening to you give this presentation, evolving over time. For the last 5 years, it's people who don't necessarily trust you the same way, who have different strengths. So it does help to have people from the outside take a look. But even reviewers, they're not going to be rerunning all of your analyses. They're not going to be spending years digging into your data. They're going to read the paper and kind of mostly try to tell, is it clear? Do I trust what they're saying? Have they done the controls? At the end of the day, figuring out which papers are correct and which hypotheses and conclusions stand the test of time, it really does require time. And that's where sharing the data shortens the time to see what is and isn't true.